The Big Number.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. 8.5%, that's our new unemployment rate. It's the highest since 1983. The Labor Department says this morning March non-farm payrolls dropped by 663,000. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more from New York.
There are now 13.2 million unemployed people in the United States. An additional 9 million are being forced to work part-time for economic reasons. And those still working are getting nervous, says Dana Saporta, an economist with Dresdner Kleinwort in New York.
People will retrench if they feel that their jobs are insecure. Even if they still have a job and don't expect to lose a job, the natural reaction is to cut back on spending and increase savings.
Saporta says while March unemployment came in pretty much in line with expectations, there was an alarming revision. The Labor Department now says the economy shed 741,000 jobs in January, almost 100,000 more than first reported. Economists don't see an end in sight to these mammoth job losses because many layoff announcements at U.S. companies have yet to take effect. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Another business indicator out this morning, business activity in the U.S. shrank for a sixth straight month in March. That reading from the Institute for Supply Management shows consumers continue to cut back on purchases. All of that's putting Wall Street on some shaky ground this morning after a 20% surge over the past 4 weeks. Right now, the Dow is down 65 points, or 0.8%, to 7,912. The Nasdaq is down about 0.4%. The S&P 500 down 0.7% right now. European shares are still lower at this hour, and major markets in Asia closed out the week on a mostly higher note. About a billion people around the world are living in slums. The United Nations says that number could triple in the next 40 years. Today, the UN Housing Agency, UN Habitat, is meeting with governments and NGOs in Nairobi, Kenya. One of the plans on the table may make it easier for poor people to get home loans. From Johannesburg, Gretchen Wilson reports.
UN officials say, for the most part, banks don't do business in slums because the risks often outweigh the returns. UN Habitat is starting a new project aimed at changing bankers' minds. It will lend up to $500,000 to local banks in six countries, including Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. The banks will use that money to provide loans to slum dwellers so they can afford better houses. Officials with UN Habitat say the model is a lot like early versions of U.S. mortgage companies, in which small savings schemes helped move poor people out of tenements. The UN agency says it will partner with local groups and oversee the loans to prevent corruption. Housing experts say they hope the new program will help banks reduce risk in low-income areas and increase lending to the poor. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
In the U.S., we've been hearing so much recently about lenders working to help homeowners avoid foreclosures. But loan modifications may be far from a silver bullet. This morning, a federal report shows nearly one in four modifications in the fourth quarter actually resulted in increased monthly payments. That can happen when lenders tack on fees or past due interest to a loan and spread those payments out over the 30 or 40-year period. The analysis also shows fewer than half of loan modifications made at the end of last year brought down mortgage payments by more than 10%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Millions of people made time last night to sit down and watch the series finale of NBC's ER. Variety editor Stuart Levine was among them. Stu, you've been covering the industry throughout the show's 15-season run. I'm wondering what you'd say is the biggest change in television that you've seen over that time.
The biggest change in television? That's a good question. Well, certainly the biggest change is the distribution model. I mean, now you can watch shows on the internet. You can watch shows on your iPod. There's TiVo, which, you know, you could watch a show in 20 minutes rather than a half hour. And that's changed the economic model. Obviously, the advertisers are not happy about that. And broadcasters are not happy because they're not getting the advertising dollars. So that's changed. But as far as the quality goes, I think shows have just gotten overall have gotten better. You know, TV gets a bad rap that it's like the great wasteland. But shows like, you know, Lost and The Wire and Mad Men and, you know, The Sopranos and comedies like 30 Rock
I myself am going through some Wire withdrawal now after wrapping up the DVDs.
Yeah, The Wire to me is the best, I would say is the best drama in the history of television.
You know, and thinking of The Wire, I don't want to ruin it for anyone that's maybe still in the process of watching, but the newspaper industry, interestingly enough, was the center of the last season. And there's a new movie that actually takes the newspaper woes and makes that the story.
Right. It's a film called State of Play, really a really good story with Russell Crowe, Rachel McAdams, and Ben Affleck. Basically, the story takes place in Washington. Affleck is a congressman who has an affair, and it kind of looks at the way that this fictional newspaper in Washington handles the case. It's interesting the way they look at it. They look at the old newspaper model with Russell Crowe as kind of the beaten-down journalist, you know, who's been doing this for 20 years, getting tons of sources, and Rachel McAdams, who's a blogger for the newspaper, and kind of how their paths meet, you know. And Helen Mirren's stuck in the middle. She's the editor of the paper, so she's pushing kind of these two engines together, the blogging side, the internet side, and the old school journalism side together. And she has to put a paper together that's going to not only going to get readers, but it's going to sell a lot of papers and be right.
All right. So I'll put State of Play on my to watch list. Anything else coming up?
There's a little small baseball movie, which I really like, called Sugar. It's about a player from the Dominican Republic who gets drafted by the major leagues, and he comes up and he tries to make a career out of it. A really small, really good baseball movie. So look for that in your theater. It's called Sugar.
Variety's Stuart Levine, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sugar opens today in L.A. and New York, nationwide on the 24th. State of Play hits theaters the 17th. Final note, Bernie Madoff's brother is expected in a suburban New York courtroom today. He's accused of mishandling a college student's investment. Peter Madoff is the target of a lawsuit that claims he took $478,000 of student Andrew Samuel's money and put in his brother's Ponzi scheme. Peter Madoff was an executive at his brother's company. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good weekend.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.